Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
When did you actually know? You know, I know you said you took it was 2 weeks off, right? But when did you first begin to have that awareness that you were the walking dead? Because I'm hearing you. And I've got people that talk to me all the time, and I'm sure you do, like, I'm so stressed, right? And it's like, how do you know when's the time to give up on whatever it is? How do you know when you're forcing it, as you said? How do you know when, you know, you're going the next day and it's like, maybe it's just a shift that I need to change something in me to actually make what's around me better? You know, how do you know when it's like that, where it's like, I need a complete monumental realignment of my life?
Beautiful question, brother. I like the way you articulated that too. I think there's a huge difference between pressure and stress. I actually think pressure is a great thing if you have the right relationship with it. It's kind of a flashlight telling you that on the other side of this pressure is massive growth and expansion. And to give you a real-time example, this week we spoke at the UN. It was a really big opportunity. It was awesome. And then I was speaking to our mutual friend, Dave, and I said, I had an idea, you know, to maybe leverage that opportunity with our first VIP dinner afterwards. I know you do those, Dave does, and I love him. And he's like, yeah, go for it. That's a great idea. Yeah. But I feel a lot of pressure. I'm like, it's only 1 week to really promote it, you know, whatever the case may be. But I leaned into it anyway, because I recognize the feeling now of pressure from my past experience. It's always a good thing on the other side. And so we did do it. It was one of the coolest nights of my life. We had 25 people at the dinner. It was sold out. It was fantastic. Stress is when either you don't do anything about the pressure, or it's not in alignment and it's just turning into resentment. Mm. And so for quite a long time, brother, I felt stress because I was so lost in the wilderness with no compass. I knew that I was a gladiator in the wrong arena. I was going through the emotions, and basically I was complacent and settling. And I could say it's a comfort zone, and I do think your comfort zone is a death sentence, but it wasn't even really comforting because my soul was contracting. Yeah. So I think that stress is very telling as to you're in the wrong arena, industry, relationship. If you ever feel those type of feelings, that's out of alignment. Pressure, however, is a good thing, and it creates opportunities. So for anyone listening right now, if you're feeling drained, tired, depleted, out of alignment, I think those are great indications for you to reevaluate what you're doing and maybe who you're doing it with. And to answer your question, I had felt that for a few years before the pandemic, but I felt so stuck. I wasn't stuck. I just felt stuck because I never took the time. I was just going 100 miles an hour on Wall Street that I didn't really give myself a moment to kind of get quiet and reassess. The pandemic kind of forced that.
That's awesome. You're actually speaking to me right now too. I mean, just taking the company public, you know, it's like I'm deep in everything. So it's the other side of Wall Street, you know, and it's, I feel it. I feel the pressure, man. At the same time, it's like what keeps me grounded every day as I come back to it. Like in the morning, I'm like, I'm the one that gets to do this.
Right.
You know, it's not like a, you know, my team, they feel the pressure, they feel the stress, you know, but it's more of like, you know, every single day I'm getting up and it's like, you know, some of the stuff really does suck. It's hard ass work. It's stuff I'm never going to have to do again, but it's like I'm a bricklayer laying a foundation. Mm. You know, it's like I get to do this. There's not a lot of people that get to do this.
You know, that's right.
I saw a little bit of a funny story. I saw your post about speaking at the UN, right? And by the way, where can everyone find you? Because I saw it on Instagram. We'll hit it at the end too, but...
Me on social media, @Craig_CLS, anywhere you buy books, Reinvent Your Formula, and the CLS Experience.
Dude, that's well practiced. Well done. That's awesome. That was great. So I saw you speaking with, I want to know how you ended up getting that book. That was phenomenal. You're speaking to the UN, and it was Sri Lanka, right? Was the country, if I remember right?
Yep.
What's funny, dude, is because, you know, I have a cyber company. And anytime I talk on stage about cyber, because I talk about, you know, what the real hacker looks like, you know, and I'm like, it's not some guy in like the back room with a hood over his head. And, you know, talking about, you know, I'm going to hack the World Health Organization or something. I'm like, I put up a photo, no kidding, of a family from Sri Lanka. like as a wow. slide, as an illustration, you know? And I do it in a humorous way, but at the same time, it's like, that's who's hacking you. Like it's, a, if you think of like Pablo Escobar, but I saw your photo. I'm like, man, my boy, my brother is talking to Sri Lanka. I'm going to have to find a different country to pick on and use as my example for the hacker.
That's so funny, buddy. Yeah, my experience there was awesome. There were good people there, but that's so funny. I love the alignment.
Yeah, it was hilarious to me anyways. I mean, you had no idea, of course, but I saw them like, I got to find a different country now, man. It's going to have to going to have to be like South Africa or something, something benign.
But yeah. It was cool because it was a different type of audience than guys like you and I are used to.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that that move can maybe pave the way and open the door for people like you and me to speak at other audiences before, be able to transfer energy and delay a really cool message to other types of people, so to speak, aside from just like entrepreneurial.
That's awesome, man. I just found out yesterday, because I mean, the show, it's like, shout out to everybody in India, because it's around 40% of my audience is actually from India. We did some demographics.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was interesting. It's like 52% US, of course, but then a great portion is India. And I maybe did a little bit of an accent the other day. So I apologize, like on the show I did. No joke. It was funny. Yeah. But that was around like the Instagram algorithm. I'll tell you about that some other time. But dude, how in the world did you get that gig? You know, did they reach out to you? Because that's pretty awesome. I saw the photos. Yeah. It just looked badass. Like you were able to really do a lot of good for them there.
Yeah. So that's a great question. And when you're in alignment and you're really connected and you're doing the right thing, that's when good things happen. So you've heard, I know you're a pretty spiritual cat.
Yeah.
I imagine audiences too. You've heard before, like when you're so locked in, you don't have to worry about the how. I used to be so skeptical of that, brother, because I was such a mindset guy, masculine energy, grind, tell me what to do, hardest worker in the room, till I really went down this kind of spiritual path that I realized that everything that's happening here, even right now, is really just 1% of what's really happening.
Yeah.
So when someone says, like, what does it mean to be spiritual? My perspective, at least, is that means that you believe that there's a lot more going on here beyond our logic.
Yeah.
And once I really started connecting to that, I just found myself at the right place at the right time, good people coming into my life, the wrong people exiting my movie, so to speak. And so my building in New York City did a little event. They're like, we're calling all authors and artists, and we'd love for you to participate. And I said, I'd love to. And so I went there on a Sunday and I met this gentleman who's now my good friend. And he works there at the Permanent Mission of Sri Lanka. He loved what I was doing. And he asked if I'd come speak to him. And so I said, absolutely, I will. So like Steve Jobs said, you can never connect the dots looking forward, only backwards. So when you're really connected and you're in the right arena at the right time, good things begin to happen that you didn't necessarily have on your whiteboard.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because I mean, the definition of luck I've heard too is like preparation meets opportunity.
That's right.
You know, and I believe a lot of the preparation is exactly what you're saying. I mean, you mentioned Steve Jobs too. But man, I've seen it almost as like, it's like blinders that end up getting lifted off, because it's almost like all of that already existed. You're talking like the other 99%, right? The other 99% already existed, but you were completely blind to it because you did not know how to see. It's just intriguing, man. I love that.
Yeah, I think, and also like, you know, religions, philosophies, but you never want to put that on someone, let them do their own thing. But I can just encourage everybody, whatever your thing is, take the fruit, leave the peel, but connect in something. And when you're really invested in that, great things will begin to happen. Even like just having conversations like this, like a lot of my one-on-one clients say, it's a kind of intoxicating because you're tapping into something a bit bigger and so forth. So I would encourage everybody to explore.
That's cool. Do you ever get up on stage? And I'm going to ask for a relative moment here. Do you ever get up on stage, because you're a big speaker, and get off and be like, I have no idea about half of what I just said, but everybody says it was the best thing in the world?
Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because whereas I used to maybe over-prepare, now I'm a big believer in preparation breeds confidence. But also I believe, this might sound a little too spiritual, but like when you're really connected, you're a channel. And sometimes the right stuff to the right audience will literally come through you, maybe as 2 seconds before you need to say it. So I felt like that a lot, if I'm being honest.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it? And it's and it's okay to get spiritual. Exactly. It really is. And I've, you know, all of our listeners, I mean, they understand me. They've been listening for years. They know how I believe, what I believe. And those connected moments you're talking about, it's crazy, because I think when I'm on stage, and there's times when I think that I crush it, that it doesn't land well. And those times are times that I can remember almost everything that I said. You know, so it's almost like you're talking about the over preparation, but then the inverse is I remember more than half, you know, more than half of what I said, I don't remember. And it's like, man, what did I say? Because everybody's saying like, can you show me the recording of this? You know, so maybe I can use it again at some point, but it's so cool because it was meant for certain individuals in that audience at that specific time period. And that's you really are. Good data. Yeah.
That's really cool data right there because you basically just nailed it, right? When you don't necessarily remember, it's because you were really channeling.
Yeah.
And you do remember the whole thing and maybe you didn't get the desired objective that you anticipated, probably because maybe you overcompensated or overprepared.
Yeah, right on. Even for these shows too. I mean, your show, do you have questions that are prepared for you ahead of time or you prepare ahead of time?
Yeah. So I love to prepare because, you know, we have really, really big people on the show. A lot of people that don't technically, you know, do a lot of interviews and I always take pride in being able to disarm them. I think that's when you could really create the most magic by building the deepest rapport. And so I definitely like to know stuff about them. They don't typically get asked, but then and to be clear, I have a guideline, of course, but I like to allow the conversation to flow. I think that when it's more like that, that's when you really create that unbelievable mystical-like connection that's most beneficial for the listeners.
That's awesome. Now, when did you start all this? I mean, the personal brand, was that when the pandemic hit after that 2 weeks? Was that shift in alignment?
It's been a little over 3 years.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy run, brother, crazy ride. And in many aspects, we're just getting warmed up. And I'll be doing something in this capacity, you know, for the rest of this human experience, for sure.
Well, that's how it is. You found your purpose, dude, for real. It's like you can see it. I'm curious. You know, I would love to see photos of you sometime, you know, from prior to that, you know. And because when you look in your eyes, you know, if anybody's listening, you can check in a video. When you look in Craig's eyes, you can see light. You know, you can see just wholeness. You can see fulfillment. Yeah, it's like, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know, like the times when you looked in the mirror prior to this, did you see emptiness? Did you see just glassy?
First of all, thank you, brother. I received that and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes, you nailed it. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people like would sign up for something that I'm offering these days and they'll be like, okay, great. What did I sign up for? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, I just wanted to be around your energy. It's very like contagious. Yeah. But before I reinvented myself, and to be clear, it wasn't just a career. I want everybody to know it was an identity. I'm engaged. We're planning our wedding to my soulmate in September. We get a brand new
puppy. That's awesome. Yeah.
Reinvented. Thank you, brother. But before that, brother, I wasn't even me. I was inauthentic. I created this persona that I thought I was supposed to show up to the world as. And I don't even know who the persona was based on. I kind of made it up. And so one of the things I did when I reinvented myself is I gave myself permission to be less than perfect. And for the first time ever, kind of come back to actually me, that journey back to myself. And even though there was no guarantee that it would work, I guaranteed to myself that I would be the real, raw, strange cat that I am. And people would gravitate or they wouldn't, but I could live with that. Up until that point, I wasn't myself.
Yeah.
I was empty, for lack of better words. And like I was telling you earlier, I remember some specific times like with my family and wouldn't go back and change it. It was all part of the path, but the lights were on, but nobody was home.
Yeah, I hear you. What did you think? Did you ever notice that ahead of that 2 weeks at all? Did you ever look at yourself and be like, dude, you got to do something about this, but didn't?
100%, because there's no excuses.
Yeah.
But, you know, Wall Street is very fast paced. And I never took the time to get quiet and give myself an opportunity to reassess. I always felt a tug at my soul. And there's two voices, right? One is the ego, or I like to call them the opponent. That one's very loud. Most people aren't able to identify that, and so they just succumb to the ego all the time.
Yeah.
But there's another voice, which is kind of like a whisper. That's the tug at your soul. And I felt that for a few years. I just wasn't able to put it all together until the lockdown provided me that opportunity to get quiet and reassess. But before that, when I started running these marathons, I started to get on the path because I would do some great connecting then. I just wasn't able to put it all together until the lockdown.
That's interesting. I'm going to dive a little deep on this one. So after your shift, did you ever feel the tug to go back? And what did that feel like? You didn't.
I'll tell you this. I'll be real vulnerable for a second. When I shut down my office and I started to put this together, I went back to work maybe a few months later, like when I started letting people come in for a couple of days a week.
COVID. Yep. And then and back out again. Yep.
Yeah. So I went one day, brother, and I'll never forget. I came home and like, I'm never going back ever again. And it was that consciousness that said, okay, I'm burning the ships. I'm all in with CLS and I'm going to die trying and figure it out. And so once I went back and had that contrast again, that's when I realized I'm making this work one way or the other.
That's cool. I've heard that a lot with individuals that make big decisions in their lives. You know, and I could probably pick those moments out in mind too, to where it's almost like you have to view in some form or fashion what you were doing prior, almost to like solidify it, you know, because it brings it up and we get the reminders all the time, right? Because there's always pulse. I mean, you look right outside your window, dude, and you've got the city of money right behind you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, but I love that it's also outside there, right outside your window, because it's like, it's beautiful and everything, but that building over there, wherever it is, it's like, that's the place I'm never going back to.
Yeah. And also just to be clear, because often I get asked, like, people are so inspired with what I did, but I also have to, you know, make money and make a living. And I want to be clear to people. I'm making more money now than I ever made on Wall Street. The difference is it's a byproduct and an energetic exchange.
Yeah.
You can absolutely create that hybrid of having purpose, loving what you're doing, and also unapologetically doing business too.
That's amazing. Our friend Dave, right? He always says that people get so busy with things that they forget to make money at what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spinning your wheels, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing, brother. I love how you were so convicted to where it's interesting though, that you still went back for one day. You know, what was that to, even after you made the decision, but what was your thought process that morning, getting up, getting dressed?
You know what, if you're taking me back right now, don't take me back, right?
I'm like diving into your bathroom right now, for real. Like, you get out of the shower, what are you thinking, man?
The good stuff. This is the deep stuff that I think will really resonate.
Yeah.
I think at that moment, I probably just got CLS up and running. It was probably the first 3 months. I had a ton of momentum, but I probably was still figuring out how to monetize and stuff like that. And I think my thought process was probably like, maybe I can still do that and, you know, build a cushion for myself to get this up and running. Cause I was into a certain lifestyle, you know, straight up. And there was no money coming for a little bit. And then I went back and I said, oh, no. I'm totally out of alignment being here. That identity of me that used to be here is dead. Let's have a funeral for it. Now, what is the new identity that matches my new desires? And so I literally went home and I'm like, I'll figure this out. We'll start to do business. We'll continue the brand. We'll get a lot of momentum. We'll add a ton of value. We'll just get this thing going. And once I made that deal with myself and I just surrendered from the expectation of having to pay my money that month, that's ironically when, you know, the opportunity started to come to monetize and so forth.
That's so awesome, man. And it really is that all in. And that's why you're on the show, right? That's why you're on the show. And because it's a... burn the boats. You know, I've heard that so much recently, and even through the pandemic, it was intriguing because everyone said, "Oh, you don't want to trash a relationship. You don't want to burn the bridges. You don't want to burn the boats in case you ever need to go back." Is there really ever a point to going back?
If you make this decision with yourself and you know that your soul is totally out of alignment, then there's no need. That's really the best feedback that you need, is when you have this feeling of like, you're high on life, like me and you in this conversation right now. This is what we should be doing right now on Friday afternoon.
I was pumped, dude. I saw you on the schedule today. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you have that other feeling, I'm sure you can relate at some point. And the feeling that I had on Wall Street, that's an exact indicator as you're a gladiator in the wrong arena and it's time to reassess. So no, I don't think there's time to go back. I think that most people, this is what I see with a lot of people that like come into my community and coaching. They're successful in the 1% world, meaning money, things, stuff like that. And they have this limiting belief, this little gremlin that needs to be cleaned up, that they don't think that they could replicate that success in a different arena that they actually feel aligned to. They make this mistake of thinking that what made them successful was the arena and not actually them. Mm. And the reality is it's you that makes all the things that you do successful. And the majority of those characteristics and traits are transferable.
Yeah, for sure, dude. That's intriguing too, because it's like the circle. I used to think that way, you know, I'm talking like 7-8 years ago. It's like, if I can just get into that circle, you know, that circle is what's going to make me successful. Like, if I can just be in that room is what's going to make me successful. And then I started to realize once I got into those rooms, it was like, I don't really like a lot of these people. I'm looking around. I'm like,
I understand.
Yeah. It's like, these are not the conversations that I want to have, because the conversations are all about, quite literally, money, like almost a worship of it. And quite literally about elevating themselves. You know, I get it. There's a point to where it's like, I really feel, you know, you talked about celebrating too. I really feel like Jesus is probably like the best self-marketer in the world, you know, because we're recording this on a Good Friday here. He's like, I am the Son of God, you know, the one and only, you know, and he would talk about himself all the time that way. But it was from such a position of humility too. And I know we're not typically going spiritual on the show, but I love this. You know, when you look at it, whether you believe it or not, it's like you look at the history, it's like, that's from a different position. Because I hear you talking and you're like, I love doing this. I love when people get around me because I love to impart things into them. I love to hear their story and their journey after they come into contact with me. When they say, I just want to be around you. They have no idea what they just bought, but I just want to be around you because I know there's something that I want to, that I can model off of you and tap into myself and lift myself up too. You know, and then money is the byproduct. You know, but those rooms, dude, those circles, some of those circles are just stupid.
I understand. And it's funny because those people look like they're successful depending upon what definition of success is, right? And it's like, I'm not, you know, I don't want to put shade on anybody, but nowadays it's like, if I find someone that's crushing it in the 1% world, like they're making money, but they hate what they're doing or they're miserable, to me, that person doesn't get, they're not successful. Like they're missing the whole point.
Yep. I feel you. That's awesome, brother. Dude, the reinvention formula, that was just released just a short time ago, right? Like within the last year.
Yeah, in August, last summer.
That's awesome, man. I mean, you've got Wall Street Journal and USA Today best-selling author already on that. That's phenomenal, dude. I'm so excited for you with this. You know, can you give us step one on the reinvention formula? And then it's a little teaser, then everybody else can go buy the book.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS. The YouTube channel, Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.